It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Deep Space High. Sci-fi TV podcast where we break down the latest and maybe not so greatest from today's sci-fi TV. I'm Jedi Master Steve.
And I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
Oh, well, another day, another dollar. Here we are again recording. Not like we record every day, but...
No, but we do with relative frequency.
Yeah, we try to record a little bit in advance, but... Doesn't always happen, so sometimes we record a couple days and then, you know, I gotta throw it together and release it within a couple days, but I'm trying to be better at that.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of want to keep it live too, that way if, you know, show announcements come out, we can kind of talk about some things, like maybe whenever we get a release date for Mandalorian season 2.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe whenever we get information on like Star Trek Lower Decks and Discovery. We got news that Lower Decks came out last Friday. Well, we're recording this before it come out, but, you know, Lower Decks came out on Friday last week, and then Discovery is going to come out right after it. So lots of Star Trek coming down the pipeline.
Yes. I haven't seen Lower Decks yet, and maybe I'll start watching it, but just from the trailers, I don't seem too enthusiastic about it.
So, yeah,
but I mean, I'll check it out. Maybe it's
one
fun,
of those.
But...
I'll probably check out all Trek, but I doesn't mean I'll like it.
Yeah, that's true.
And we might do an episode here, you know, on it here sometime. But it's TBD. We want to try to get away from the Star Trek and Star Wars universes for a little bit. That's why we're going to hit Altered Carbon as soon as we're done with The Mandalorian. I think that's going to be a two-part. It's a two-part for season one and then two parts for season two. So...
Yeah.
So that's coming up next on Deep Space High as soon as we wrap up Mandalorian here in a couple episodes. I was going to say, any other news or announcements?
No, I don't got anything. I'd say let's get right into the end of this episode.
You can do it! You can do it all night long!
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, man, let's do it!
I mean, come on, I just don't see a problem here. Let's just do it!
I'm going to go do it!
So, what do we got in store, brother?
Today, we are watching probably one of my favorites so far up to this point in The Mandalorian. It is episode 6. I almost said 7. Ooh, it's been a long day. Yeah. Episode 7, entitled The Prisoner. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, this was an interesting episode. I, you know, even just straight from the opening scene, I thought that I missed something, because apparently the ship just goes like straight into a docking bay, no explanation of nothing. I'm like, wait, did I like miss something? Or so it was kind of a weird, you know, beginning to the episode.
Yeah, that's how I felt. I felt like a little transmission maybe at the start would have been a better way to start it, because I had to pause it and, you know, go back 10 seconds to make sure I didn't miss anything either. And we didn't. It's just how it starts. So essentially we get all our information on the start of the episode in the following couple scenes in couple minutes, which is interesting. You start off seeing, oh man, I can't think of the actor's name at the minute, but you know, for me, he was in Bad Boys 2, had a very minor role in Bad Boys 2, but you see that guy. And then you kind of, you know, you get the feeling that the two of them know each other. They did some jobs in the past.
Right.
But, You get some information.
I mean, I know the actor. I don't remember him in Bad Boys 2 or in Bad Boys.
Yeah. In Bad Boys, he was maybe it wasn't Bad Boys. No, I think it was Too Fast, Too Furious.
Oh, okay. The guy who got the Eaten cop by the who rat. They did. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that's Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't remember him. Bad Boys 2.
Yeah, my bad.
No, you're good.
I had to think about that for a second. But yeah, that guy, he's one, you know, I've seen him in other things, and he's one, I don't know his name, but you know, I recognize him when I see him.
Right.
So he's in this episode, and then you see Bill Burr, which is ironic because Bill Burr
isn't he the guy who plays Scotty in the new reboots?
No, that's
that's who I thought it was, but it wasn't him, but I
no, that's Simon Pegg.
Yeah, I thought it was Simon Pegg at first because it really kind of looked like him.
Maybe a smidge, but Bill Burr, it's ironic because he doesn't like the Star Wars franchise at all.
Really?
Yep. Why? Yep. Doesn't like it at all. I don't remember why. I've seen a video on it at some point. I don't think he's into the whole science fantasy opera thing, but it was funny to see him in this role, knowing he is not a Star Wars fan.
Hmm. Maybe they just paid him enough, and he's like, fuck it, why not? It's good.
I think he's good friends with somebody. Someone involved in the show. Maybe one of the directors. Or,
who directed this episode?
This was Rick, I can't say his name. Fuimara, the same guy who directed the second episode.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to get his last name either.
Yeah, just Rick F.
Oh, well. I mean, we know who you're talking about.
Yeah, so. Oh, well, now I'm seeing another report because I had Bill Burr pulled up on my computer. And now I'm seeing things. It's like, oh, he actually does like Star Wars. Well, you know, people need to make up their minds on what they like and what they don't like. Jeez Louise.
Maybe he just didn't like the new Star Wars movies.
Maybe he didn't like Disney. Or maybe he just wanted to pull everyone's leg because he's a comedian, too.
Yeah, could be.
Which I think something we haven't gotten. I mean, we got it a little bit so far in the series. But I think by far, because Bill Burr's being a professional comedian, his jokes and his lines hit the best in this episode.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
At least in my opinion, especially when he's described as a ex-imperial sharpshooter, and then Mando makes the wisecrack. Oh, that's not saying much. And he's like, I wasn't a freaking stormtrooper, you asshole. Lines like that.
Yeah, well, Mayfeld, he's one of the best trigger men I've ever seen. Former imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
So what's the difference between an ex-imperial sharpshooter and a stormtrooper?
I would consider it like a dedicated shooting squad. So maybe someone who's like a sniper or, you know, has sniper elements to it versus just straight infantry.
Okay.
So, I mean, one thing we learned is like in these Disney movies, like I watched Solo not too long ago, I think like 2 weeks ago, and you have like stormtroopers who before Disney took over, I just thought they were the main infantrymen of the Star Wars universe, but that's not the case because, you know, according to Solo was in the Imperial Army and was actually a part of the assault teams.
Huh. Well, then that's weird. Then what's the point of the stormtrooper? Because their stormtroopers aren't exactly clones. They're like reprogram their minds to, you know, to best serve the Empire?
Well, that's more First Order. Stormtroopers are just people who enlisted in the Imperial Armed Forces. So like stormtroopers, I think they're based loosely on German stormtroopers who kind of, and the German stormtroopers, if I remember my World War II history right, they were kind of like, they were the forces that went in and performed blitzkriegs. So they went in and were rapid kind of troop deployments and kind of catch the enemy by surprise. And I think that kind of seems a little bit more of their style in the Star Wars universe too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what they are. And then like a main assault force would be the regular army.
What's always got me was, what's the point of their armor? Like, it doesn't really do much to stop blasters. Like, six proved that doesn't really do much against rocks or logs, because, you know, Ewoks whooped their asses. So, I mean, it's like, who was it? Finn said in 7 that it's just kind of for smoke. So the whole armor is just good for smoke. So what's the point of wearing that shit?
Well, no.
At least Mando stopped them. Stops blaster bolts, you know.
I'm not sure. Maybe it's more for hand-to-hand combat, maybe. Because Finn, what you're describing, and Finn in episode 7 is saying that the stormtroopers' masks have filtration systems, but they're only designed to filter out smoke, not toxins or anything harmful.
Right.
So, to that point, I'm not sure what the stormtroopers' armors are, because I don't think there's one case of it where, except maybe a couple rocks from Return of the Jedi, that they are able to deflect. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, do you just think that George Lucas is like, yeah, this looks cool, it looks scary, and it's cheap, it's just, you know, hard plastic.
Oh, you know, definitely. I mean, in 1977, he was just trying to, you know, he was spacing the shit out of it, but I don't think it had, it has practical effects or a practical use in the story, or else they wouldn't have it. But from what we see, our heroes just tear right through it.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know, but let's get back to this episode. We're on a little bit of a Star Wars tangent.
All right. So, well, I mean, we don't always have to be so in depth about the episode. Maybe people like to hear about that kind of stuff too.
True, but we are talking about the episode, so we want to get through the episodes and then let the tangents happen, and not necessarily say we're talking about this and then spend the whole hour on other stuff.
I'll just write down my point, and then hopefully I'll remember it later. So let's continue then.
So here we find, you know, like I was telling you, he meets Bill, Mando meets Bill Burr's character, he is called Mayfeld. He's going to be the leader of the mission. There's three other people involved. You have a droid named Zero, what was his species? A Davronian named Berg, which is the big red guy with horns.
Hellboy. Isn't that just like Hellboy played by Mr. Krabs? Because that's the actor who plays Mr. Krabs.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, pretty much. It's the Star Wars Hellboy.
It really is.
Yeah, played by Mr. Krabs. I didn't realize that was him until just now.
Yeah, I noticed because of the voice.
Yeah, I mean, I recognize the voice because I think he's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too, and he's, you know, he's done some other roles. But
yeah, he's also been in The Flash. He was General Iroh in The Flash.
Yeah, and I never picked him up as Mr. Krabs. But yeah, that is him. And then you get a Twi'lek named Shion.
Yeah, and apparently her and Mando know each other. I guess they used to boink or something.
Yeah, I think they were boink buddies. They were definitely DTF because, you know, they, a little later on when they're actually en route to the mission, they're talking about how a woman never kisses and tells and whatnot and all this fun stuff. So kind of implied that they were porking each other.
It could be, or it could be just like she seems pretty, you know, sexual and he's kind of a stiff. So maybe she's just kind of playing with him.
Well, I'm sure he had a stiff a couple times. And I'm sure she played with it.
I don't know if she played with it, but or maybe she's just being a tease and, you know, being an ass about it, because they were kind of all being assholes to Mando.
Yeah, they were all kind of prickish, but they're all mercenaries, so they probably don't get along. I mean, they didn't seem like they really got along with each other too well either.
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't that bad for, you know, compared to Mando. Like,
well, Mando's new kid on the block. Well,
Hellboy was kind of snooping through all of his shit.
Well, yeah, and Hellboy is just, he's a nosy son of a gun.
Well, isn't Hellboy owned by Disney?
No.
Who owns Hellboy?
I don't know.
Or is it a comic book company?
It's comic book. It's Dark Horse, but I don't know who does the movies for him.
I think it's varies. Warner Brothers.
No, it's not Warner Brothers.
I think Warner Brothers did the last one, didn't it?
Nope. I think Lionsgate did the first two, and then I don't know who did the third one, but that's off topic.
Yeah. Oh, well. I don't know why. I just thought that Disney probably owned the rights to Hellboy.
No.
Since it was comic-based.
Nope. That's Dark Horse Comics, who I think when they do the movies, they do it to probably the highest bidder, whatever studio bids the highest.
But isn't Hellboy in the...
He's in Injustice too, but only because he was leased out to him. They signed a contract. Okay. Just like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles aren't owned by DC either, but they still work out a deal with the company who owns them to do that stuff.
Okay. Got it. All right, well then let's get back on topic.
Yeah, let's get back on topic. Like we were saying, Star Wars Hellboy is nosy as all can be, going through his stuff, and this is when they're on the ship en route to the mission, and that's when they discover Baby Yoda. Oh, well, hold on, let's back up, because we didn't say what the mission was.
No, we really didn't.
So they're on this crazy mission to, I guess, one of these other mercenaries. Ended up getting his ass arrested by the New Republic, so they're going to go break him out of a New Republic prison transport ship, which is interesting.
I actually don't remember. Maybe I missed this part, but did they actually say the name of who it was they were rescuing or
no
prison ship?
No, they just said it was one of the colleagues. So the other five people know. So the leader who was in Too Fast, Too Furious and the other four guys and gal, they all know who they're busting out, but Mando doesn't.
Yeah.
So,
okay. So they just didn't tell Mando who it was. And then
because at first they try to play it off as someone got picked up by a rival syndicate or a rival group, and they were just going to go break them free. And then they pull up the schematics to kind of plan the heist, and it's a New Republic prison ship. And Mando's like, whoa, 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 I'm not trying to get that kind of heat on me.
Right.
But, they still go along with it because they need the Razor Crest because it's, I guess it's off the books. No, the New Republic doesn't know about it. The Empire didn't really have any codes on it, so it's just like an unregistered ship, so they wanted to use it.
Well, I thought it was interesting because this is kind of the first time we get to see the New Republic. We don't really hear much about it in any other movies or shows.
Yeah, and even in this episode, we still don't see a lot about it because it was referenced in episode 3 where Mando calls the New Republic a joke, and then all we see is kind of this prison ship until the last couple minutes of this episode.
Yeah. Well, I think that this is really the first storyline that we're getting on it, because if you remember in 7, the only bit that we got for when it came to the New Republic was when they were all being, blown up by the First Order's weapon,
Yeah.
And that was basically just kind of a flash to everybody screaming on planets that we've seen before.
Yeah.
So we don't really get to see any new structures, see what stays the same, but I think this is kind of that first episode where we're going to start getting more on the First Republic going forward. Or
The New Republic. Yeah, we should get a little bit more, hopefully. But en route to, like we were saying a minute ago, en route to the prison ship so they can bust free their buddy.
Do we ever talk about the droid?
How the droid's an ass and looks like a bug?
Yeah. Well, he kind of looks like... Well, remember Power Rangers Zero or Zeo?
No.
Kind of looks like... Really? Well, kind of looks like his face, the robot's face, kind of reminded me of one of the Power Rangers on Power Rangers Zeo. And I thought it was interesting because his name is Zero.
Oh.
Just sounds similar. Nope. I don't know.
Nope, that's
what your mind associates when you're high.
Yep, apparently. Well, like I was saying, this is when they start snooping around the ship. Star Wars Hellboy uncovers Baby Yoda, and that's when all the sex jokes come out about him and the Twi'lek Xion boning and having a kid.
Yeah, which is funny because when he said that, like, it kind of could be a kid between them two.
I mean,
the ears, kind of
guess.
I mean, just kind of at glancing at it, because he doesn't know what his species looks like. Mando under there.
Yeah, because so like, they did refer to him as. Yeah, because they did make a Gungan joke. It's like, Misa, whatever.
That was
I don't remember the exact joke, but he did reference him as a Gungan.
Could be, yeah. Misa, I don't know. I like that guy. That guy was pretty funny.
Yeah, Bill Burr. Like I said, he's a professional comedian, and his jokes. I don't think there was one that fell flat in this episode. I think he was solid. When it was more dramatic and more action packed, he was solid. When, you know, the comedy came out, he was definitely more in tune, since that's his speciality.
Well, there hasn't really been many comic reliefs in the show so far.
No, I think the lady.
I think she was probably the only other one.
Yeah.
And she was just kind of, you know, she was kind of funny, but almost like situational, where this guy was just straight up funny.
Yeah, it was almost like she was funny, but you could tell she wasn't like professional comedian funny. Her jokes didn't always land. Her timing wasn't always right. But, you know, Bill Burr was spot on,
right?
Which you expect from a professional like him.
And then, I don't know, I haven't heard much of his, you know, prior stuff. So maybe I'll start looking into, you know, some of his other acts. See how funny this guy really is.
Yeah, look at some of his stand up. He's pretty funny. I think I've seen one or two.
Maybe I'll check it out.
He's pretty funny. But this episode, it's a weird episode because it feels longer than it really is. It doesn't move as quickly as some of the other episodes do, at least in my mind. I don't know if you felt the same way.
No, not really, actually. I thought this was a pretty long episode, believe it or not.
Well, that's what I was saying.
It felt like the story really went up to the end, and then it just kind of stopped.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It felt like a longer episode than it really, or maybe not that it really was, but just longer than some of the previous episodes we've had, because episode 5 felt like it went by really quick, whereas this one I just think
that's because episode 5 was kind of short, because I think it was only like 30 minutes or like 32 minutes.
It was short, but I think there were some slower parts in this episode that also played out that also made the episode feel longer.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I won't lie that the scene where they're kind of picking on Mando and they're going through all of his stuff, you know, that one, it felt longer than it probably was.
You know, to kind of get through some of the storyline. So they get onto this prison ship. They go through. They do encounter some droids. That's some pretty cool scenes. And then they get to the command center, where they find out that, because initially when they were on the space station or whatever, they were told it's all going to be droids, so there's going to be no human casualties in this whatsoever. But they get there and they find out that's not the truth. So everyone else is like, all right, we got to kill this guy because he's seen our faces. We can't let him know. We can't let him report back to the New Republic.
Well, no, I thought it was what it was he had that tracker.
Well, he did have a tracker, but I think they were going to kill him either way.
Well, they didn't really take him seriously until, you know, he pulled out the blaster. And then Mando was like trying to calm him down, and then he pulls out the tracking device. And then that's when we really start to see that Mexican standoff between literally everyone.
Yeah, and then big cameo here, because the New Republic officer or soldier on board is Matt Lanter.
When you say it like that, it just sounds weird.
What?
Matt Lanter.
It's Matt Lanter. I think that's how you say Matt his name. Lanter.
I have no idea. I don't actually know who he is. So, like, what roles has he played in?
Oh my god! He done. And you've seen Clone Wars.
Well, it's a cartoon.
Well, yeah.
I don't see what they look like.
I guess. All right. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Matt Lanter is the voice of Anakin Skywalker in Clone Wars.
Oh, okay. Well, you could have said that. I figured he was a movie or TV show guy, and I didn't know he was Anakin, though.
Yeah, he was Anakin, and he's voiced Anakin for Clone Wars.
I just thought he's done other stuff for, you know, other movies and was relatively known, and he was a Star Wars fan, and, you know, kind of like Seth MacFarlane's a big you know, Star Trek fan, and he's done stuff on Enterprise, some cameos. I just figured something like that.
Nah.
But okay.
Well, not in this case, no. It's voice from Clone Wars.
Okay, well, now that makes more sense. And is that what more of the cameos came in for the in the later scenes?
There is cameo at the end of the show, which we'll get to when we get to the towards the end of our show.
Okay.
So, but poor Matt Lanter, he, you know, they're arguing over him, going to have a Mexican standoff, or they're having a Mexican standoff, and Shion's like, I'm over this, and just bloop, kills him with a knife.
Sucks
and then on his way down, he gets, he hits his little tracking device, or his, it's really a distress beacon, so he sends a distress beacon and brings the New Republic kind of down onto the crew. So now they're in a time crunch, because Zero lets them know, hey, you get, you know, New Republic's been alerted, you have 20 minutes. And then yeah. Shion says the thing that bugs me the absolute most is she's just like, we only need 5.
I've detected a New Republic distress signal homing in on your location. You have approximately 20 minutes.
You only need 5.
What? 5 minutes! Nothing takes 5 minutes!
Yeah, and it took her took them 5 minutes just to find the cell. Because then Zio reported 15 minutes left, and it's like, fucking.
Yeah, that didn't take 5 minutes. It took them almost, 17, 18 minutes for them to get off the ship.
Yeah.
Well, so this 5. So apparently, Shion thinks they could rescue, which we find out is her brother, Quinn, in 5 minutes and be off the ship in 5 minutes. And that's, that didn't necessarily happen the way she planned it.
No, it did not. Well, and I'm curious, because they talk about their past relationship, you know, Quinn.
Yeah.
And Mando was not happy about it. And I'm curious, you know, what that background is between them two.
Yeah, so apparently, just from the brief conversations we had, the three of them is in Mando, Shion, and her brother Quinn, all ran jobs together way back when. And then I guess there was a job that kind of went south, and Mando made the decision to leave Quinn behind, which is kind of how he was arrested in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's kind of some bad blood there, because that's when the other people turn on Mando and try and lock him in the cell.
But I guess that makes sense, because what's her name? Shit, what's her name? I can't say her name.
Shion.
That's how you pronounce it. Shion. She, she yelled after they locked him in the cell, you deserve this.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's in reference to, because he left Quinn behind, so now they're leaving him behind.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of that eye for an eye. Yeah, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, that's what you get. Left me, we leave you. But
I was going to say, then this is where just, you know, Mando just starts going on a rampage, and he... I guess, coincidentally, a guard walks by. He Spider-Mans the guard, pulls him to the cell. The guard sticks his arm into the cell. Mando rips it off. And then here's what I don't get, of all things. Why the hell is there locking mechanisms within the cell?
Yeah, that kind of got me, too.
That makes absolutely no sense.
Maybe it was just because, only the droids can do it, so if they go into the cell to check, only they can get out. But then again, that wouldn't make sense, because if the guard or the prisoner tried to sneak up on them, if there was just the one of them, he did, get the best of them, and they, very easy way to get out. So
yeah, and I didn't understand that. That was very odd.
Maybe they just wanted an easy way to, you know, continue the storyline, so I didn't have to get 15 minutes explaining how he escaped.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but this is, you know, from here on out, this is when we see Mando go full John Wick. I mean, we got a brief taste of it earlier in the episode, where he takes out four or five of these droid New Republic security droids. I said droids twice. Oh, well. We saw it a little bit there, but now we see it here when he's actually fighting these other mercenaries.
Yeah, I mean,
which
cool. I thought was funny, because the first one that he goes after is, Hellboy. So he's lighting them on fire, and just like Hellboy, he's walking through it like, this shit don't burn me.
Yeah, loud about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a lot of similarities between him and Hellboy.
You know, do you think Disney was just trying to get their own version of Hellboy?
No, probably not. Just more of coincidence. I don't think I've ever seen that species before, so apparently they're really strong because Mando tries to drop a door on him. He catches it. Then I like what he does next. He closes the blast door that comes sideways and just knocks him. Well, I thought killed him, but found out later it just knocked him out.
Yeah, probably crushed some things too.
Yeah, family jewels might be gone.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, then he goes after Xion, and that was a pretty cool fight. And you see more John Wickish, where he's like, or it's kind of Wonder Woman-esque too, because he was using his forearms to block some of the blades.
Well, here's what kind of confused me: what was she planning on doing? Like are those knives like capable of destroying these droids when you know it's all droids on the ship? Like, she only brought knives and little throwing knives. Like, they couldn't barely even get through Mando's armor. I think only one actually got through.
Yeah, it was just so, where he had no Baskar. But I don't know. I don't know what those knives are, because she like activates them and a blue light turns on. So I think there's more to those knives than meets the eye.
Well, the only time she really used them other than Mando was to kill the guard.
Yeah, and I don't think she activated it then. So maybe when she turns it on, it helped her in some way. Maybe it was like a, in all honesty, I don't know. I don't know why she, what,
I don't know what the hell she those was things thinking. Have. Yeah.
She's good with them, you could tell, but.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the hell, what purpose those weapons serve. Can she be like Hawkeye and set them to explode?
Maybe.
You know, she's the Twi'lek Hawkeye.
Yeah, I mean, and they didn't even go that deep, so they wouldn't have done much damage, even if they did stick, so it had to do, like, something. You know, maybe, like, the electroshock, maybe?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. For the droids. Hawkeye, Black Widow type situation.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, he makes quick work of her. He moves on to Bill Burr's character, Mayfield, and does quick work with him. Runs into Quinn. Quinn's like, well, you could kill me, or you could take me back and collect the money.
Which was a fair point.
Yeah. Mando's like, okay.
Yeah, but and then we're forgetting about Zero, the droid, who was starting to figure out all the stuff going on with Mando, and finds Baby Yoda. Or, well, I guess Baby Yoda walks in on him, not thinking that Mando was in the cockpit.
Yeah, Baby Yoda disappears. What the fuck are you?
Almost seems like he knew that he needed to hide, like his life was in danger.
Yeah, and that was funny, kind of. It's always funny watching Baby Yoda, because peeks his head out around the corner, you see his big ass ear, then like one of his big eyes, and you're like, oh, and then he hides back, and you're like,
oh. Oh, yeah, I mean, the show is an 8.5 out of 10. Without Baby Yoda, but Baby Yoda just takes it to fucking 11.
Yeah.
Like, he just makes it the show so much better. Or it takes it to that next level.
Yeah, it's funny, because I don't know what Baby Yoda's plan was, because he was obviously toying with Zero. It's like, right. You know, and it's weird, because Baby Yoda, like, waddles really slow. But in a cockpit scene, you know, Zero looks at him, is like, oh, churns, grabs his gun, turns back super quick. Baby Yoda's gone.
Well, maybe he was just taking his little time. You know, maybe he was like, oh, I woke up from my nap. Let's go bug Mando. And like, oh, shit, that's not Mando.
Well, you know, he wasn't sleeping since, you know, they.
Right. Well, he escaped.
Well, no, he had not escaped, but they were messing with him when they were going to the mission to begin with.
Yeah, but then he put him back in that room.
Yeah, he got out of the room. Sleeping.
Well, no, but he managed to get out of the room, probably looking for Mando, and then it's like, oh, that's not Mando. Turn around, runs back,
no,
hides, and then somehow manages to get back in the room and back on the bed.
Yeah, I don't know how he did, and closed the door.
Yeah, and then he starts waving his little hand. I think that's what he was thinking. was that, hey, I'll just use the Force again. But then he's like, wait, it's not working. It's not working.
And then, no, it wasn't even that. He was holding his hand up. His eyes were starting to close. And then you see kind of like Zero explode. And then he looks at his hand. He's like, did I do that? He's like, I can do that. And then there's Mando. He's like, oh, that makes sense. Nope, I can't do that. Hand, you failed me.
That was too great.
It was great. That was
great. That was a great scene.
The way the animatronics worked in that little robot puppet, and he looked at his hand, I was like, oh my god, that looks so real. It was so adorable.
Oh my gosh. I know. It just makes the show so much better.
Yeah. It brings that awe factor.
Moving on from that scene, so Mando does manage to deliver, what's his name? Quinn? Yeah, yep. Quinn. They return Quinn back, and Mando does get paid. He's like, oh, yeah, no questions asked, right? That's why everybody's gone.
It seems like this group of mercenaries have similar rules to the Bounty Hunters Guild. No questions asked. So Mando comes back with Quinn and the guy who I don't know if they ever name, but the kind of group leader who sent them on the mission in the first place was like, where's the others? Mando's like, no questions asked, right? And he's like, yep, no questions asked. So he hands them the money. Mando about faces, gets on a ship, heads out. And then the guy's like, all right, you can kill Mando now, as he's taken off. Come to find out, well, we kind of find out that Mando took the distress beacon from the New Republic ship. So the New Republic's been tracking him the whole time. That's why he's quick to about face and get the hell out of there.
Right.
So he leaves it on Quinn.
Yeah, which was, I mean, a smart move. Like, I thought it was odd that Quinn didn't know what it was, but the leader did. I guess we don't have a name for him.
Yeah, he was like, oh, shit. And, you know, Mando's just another situation where he's just one step ahead.
And then that's why I was like, this episode kind of felt long, because at the very end, in the conclusion of it, you know, as the X-Wings come in and the Republic finds them and blows up the ship, you know, you just see Mando being awesome and taking off the little ball and giving it to Baby Yoda, and they ride off and end of episode.
Yeah, and that's where you see three more cameos.
Yes.
Yes. I know you could see our notes, so you could see I named them.
I know, but I don't know who Dave Filoni. Oh, isn't that the director?
He didn't direct this episode. He directed the last episode, episode 5, and episode 1.
Yeah, but he produced this one, though.
And he's serving as executive producer on the series.
Right.
So Dave Filoni.
Okay, I did not notice that. And then yeah. Deborah Chow, what did she do?
Deborah Chow directed episode 3, and I think episode 7 next time.
And then
Rick Fimo.
So all the directors got a cameo in this one.
Yeah, how many did they hire? 5 directors? So 3 of the 5 directors, because it was...
Well, maybe we should keep an eye out for the next 2.
Well, we already saw Taika Waititi.
Okay, so then...
Taika Waititi was IG-11, the droid from episode 1.
Oh, so then we're just missing one more then.
Yeah, I don't think we see Dylas Bryce Howard in this.
Well, let's keep an eye out. Maybe we do.
Yeah, well, let's see, because I think we already saw her episode. I don't know if we see her again. We'll watch the next 2 episodes and find out.
All right, well, we'll keep an eye out then. But yeah, that was interesting. More cameos.
Well, yeah, you didn't even notice the cameos.
Well, I didn't know that. I've never looked up the directors, like, or at least looked up their faces, so I don't know what they look like. And then Anakin, the voice of Anakin on the cartoon, I don't know what his voice, you know, his face looks like, so I never would have recognized him.
Yeah. Well, apparently Mark Hamill, who is Luke Skywalker, since sometimes it feels like I got to spell it out for you.
No, I know that one.
Okay. He apparently has a cameo in this series somewhere. He voices another droid or another something somewhere.
Yes, I think I remember that the first time around. I remember hearing Mark Hamill. I'm like, is that Mark Hamill? Because he does a lot of voice work. You know, he's played Chucky. He's was Ozai on The Last Airbender. He was the Joker in the cartoon, yeah. Batman cartoon series. You know, he's a big, what is it, voice actor?
Voice actor.
Yeah. So that doesn't surprise me. I think we're going to see it within the next couple episodes.
News came out. Well, there's only two episodes left, but news came out recently where I think he said he has been in every Disney Star Wars movie somehow or some way.
Really?
Either him or his voice.
Huh.
So I think he did some work on Clone Wars. Might have been the voice of a stormtrooper or droid. I don't remember. I think he was a droid in Mandalorian somewhere. But yeah, I guess he's done some voice work in Rogue One, Solo.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I've never noticed. Maybe we need to keep an eye out for it.
Keep an ear out for it.
Yeah, I guess both. You got to be watching the movie too. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but you're not going to see him. Some of his other roles are you got to hear the voice.
Yeah.
So, but I think the only other surprise in this episode, when Mando was clearing out the other mercenaries, I thought he was... I thought he killed the first guy, the Davronian. What are we calling him? Oh, Mr. Hellboy. I thought he would have died, but I guess not.
No, they all lived.
Yeah, he just threw them all in a cell.
Yeah, he just left them there.
Forget you guys. I'm going home.
He's like, you did it to me. Why not? I can't do it to you.
So, and they left them all in the same cell too. So,
yeah, they did. Well, the tracking beacon went towards Quinn. So, are they ever going to find that ship?
Yeah, because the ship's still on course.
So, did they go to the ship first and then go to the tracking beacon to find? Because they seemed surprised that the tracking beacon wasn't at the ship.
Yeah. So, I think. No, I think they followed the tracking beacon, maybe initially thinking it was hijacked. So they, you know, if they have a lock on it, they're going to track it to wherever it's going. And then they followed it to the space station or space post or whatever. And come to find out they're getting ready to launch a strike fighter to intercept and destroy the Razor Crest with Mando on it. And the X-Wings are like, all right, these guys are hostile. So boop, they're going to come in. They light up the hangar and then they come around for another pass and they just start, you know, bombarding the ship or the space station.
Yeah. But what I'm curious about is with the tracking beacon there, you know, does that mean that they won't be able to find the ship now? Or do you think they'll be able to find that ship? Are they screwed? Did Mando just screw them by placing the tracking beacon there and being awesome?
They didn't alter the course, so eventually the course is what they'll do is they'll probably go back and they'll be like, okay, well, they obviously took the tracking beacon. And so they'll probably go back to the course that the ship was running and then just kind of fly along the course until they track down the ship.
Hmm.
Or, you know, there's droids on it too, so they could probably send communique to the ship
if there's any left.
And get coordinates on it. I'm sure there's plenty left because it seemed like it was a multi-level ship and it was a pretty long ship too. So I'm sure they didn't encounter and destroy all the droids, just a vast portion. Because if you recall, once the security alert went out that there was intruders on the ship, Zero redirected them to another part of the ship. So they only encountered a handful of what they could have.
Yeah, that's true.
So... how'd you like the episode?
Well, again, I mean, I thought this was a pretty good episode. The Mandalorian's done a very good job at putting out pretty consistently good episodes when it comes to storyline. You learn a bit more about Mando. You know,
he's
you get badass
of having
fight
a
scenes.
Relationship.
Yeah, you get good, maybe, allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. Good point.
And then where was that? You got great fight scenes. I thought the directing was pretty good. They almost seemed like a horror movie at one point where Mando was the killer.
Yeah, maybe not horror. I mean? Maybe more of a thriller movie.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe a combination. But I mean, I'm not really big on that genre, so.
Right. And then, you know, Baby Yoda being awesome per usual. So, I mean, I thought it was pretty damn good episode. What about you?
I liked it. Like I said at the start of the show, this is probably my favorite so far. And that's twofold. I like the action in it, the John Wick-esque that was brought along with some of his fighting, sneaking up behind some of the droids, taking them out, you know, swiping at their legs, Karate Kid style, and sweep the leg. And and just the way he took those out was very John Wick-esque. And so was when he was fighting the mercenaries. It just felt very John Wick-y. John Wick-y? That's weird. But yeah, it felt very John Wick-y, and I liked it. And then the other part was all the cameos, because while I watched it the first time and I didn't recognize Matt Lanter until I saw his name in the end credits, and I was like, whoa, where was he in this? And I had to go back and rewatch it until I realized he was the egghead in the command center. And then seeing the three directors, I did catch that up on first viewing. So I liked all the cameos, and not even those cameos, like the guest stars they brought in. Bill Burr was funny. His comedic lines and comedic relief, he nailed those, you know, perfect timing on them, executed those lines with perfection. You get Hellboy, Mr. Krabs with Mr. Clancy, I think that's his name. Yeah, Clancy Brown, who plays Berg, the giant, you know, Mr. Krabs, Hellboy. So they got a lot of good guest stars. I mean, even Shion, the Twi'lek, she's been in Harry Potter. She's been in Game of Thrones. Well, yeah, I mean, not only that, good job casting, but you're getting pretty big actors into some of these roles. I mean, I wouldn't call any of these people A-list actors, but
yeah,
B-minus list. I mean, big enough to where, yeah, like I recognize Clancy Brown's voice. I didn't realize he was Mr. Krabs, but I was like, okay, I know some other things. The other guy, the one with the giant beard, his name is Mark Boone. I was like, I recognize him from other movies and shows. Bill Burr, I knew as a comedian. So it's like, I liked who they were able to get for this episode, and I liked seeing all the cameos. And yeah, overall, I like the episode. For me, it's like,
right.
I don't know if it's my favorite in between all eight episodes, but definitely between the first six, I would say this is number one.
Okay. Well, let's see if the next two episodes change your mind.
Should we punch it?
Punch it, we can beat him.
Punch it, kill it.
Punch it.
Punch it.
Punch it!
Punch it,
Hawkeye!
Punch it!
Let's
get the hell out of here.
Let's punch it.
With that thought, what do we actually have in store for next week's episode?
Next week, or next time on Deep Space High, we are going over Mandalorian Episode 7, The Reckoning, which Disney Plus did not market this as a two-part finale, but I think upon watching it the first time, it feels like a two-part finale.
I think it... I don't think they're going to say it's a two-part finale because it's only eight episodes. But it really does feel like a two-part finale.
Yeah, because you could really throw 7 and 8 together and do it as one long episode.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what we have next week. And this, the very brief one-sentence synopsis is, an old contact extends an invitation for Mando to make peace with his enemies. So, interesting stuff coming up in the next 2 weeks on Deep Space High. And then I want to reutter, like I did at the start of the show and last show, after 3 weeks or three episodes from now, we'll be part one of Altered Carbon. So if you haven't seen that show, go ahead and start checking that out. And that way you can stay up to date. Hopefully most people tuning in have seen the episode or seen that series and might not have to rewatch it.
Well, maybe I will find out. I mean, I haven't seen it yet, so it should be interesting.
Yeah, it's good. I won't say anything else because Chris hasn't seen it yet, so I want to get his reactions to it.
Right.
Because you're getting the same experience I had when I first watched it. I had no idea what the series was about. I saw a very brief trailer, and that was it.
All right, well, be ready for some questions.
I'm ready, and I'm sure some fans are ready to get your first impressions and my impressions on that show. So yes, stay tuned for that. I know that's kind of an extended look for Deep Space High. So
yeah,
but I just want to give that reminder. That way, people can't say we didn't let them know and didn't drop a bomb on them.
That is true.
At least had 4 weeks to start watching at least a handful of episodes. So can't say I didn't warn you.
All right. Well, I guess that will do it for this episode. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Deep Space High. And be sure to join us next time as we continue the discussion of The Mandalorian.
Yeah. And don't forget to keep the conversation going with hashtag Deep Space High. Also, check out our Facebook page at Deep Space High Sci-Fi TV Reviews. There you can get the latest information. You'll know when episodes drop, any announcements that's coming out, like, oh, we're watching Altered Carbon in a couple weeks.
I'm sure they got that one.
Stuff like that. You'll get those kind of updates, and you'll hear clips from the show and get previews from the show. So head over to Facebook, like us there. And then you could also like our Instagram at Deep Space High Podcast. And it's a similar platform. We'll let you know when episodes come out and kind of maybe give you some behind the scenes here on the show of Deep Space High.
Yeah, and let us know what you think about the show. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And these reviews, they help get the show out there. You get better content and get better feedback. So please feel free to leave a review and subscribe. And
yes, you're not getting the feedback. We're getting the feedback.
Well.
And trust me, we'll take the feedback because we want to give y'all a better show. So yeah, get out there, like our Facebook page and Instagram, leave some reviews, and spread the word. Tell a couple friends if you have some people into sci-fis. Let's get the word out.
Yeah,
let's definitely get them to give us feedback so we can give you better shows and tailor our content for you, the listeners.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. All right. Well, with that, I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
Yep, and I'm Jedi Master Steve. And may the Schwartz, I mean the Force, be with you. Always.